Matthew, and as we look at the model prayer, the pattern prayer, the disciples' prayer, whatever you want to call it, I believe it is a pattern by which we are to go by. Before I forget it, as you're turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the second part of it, we will begin reading first part in just a few moments, but an announcement that slipped my mind, and as I looked over at this young couple over here sitting down, Don and Marlene, just amazing. I know that they don't look this age, but they've been married 68 years, and they celebrated it yesterday. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. Amen. I know y'all have many years to be thankful for and many reflections to just think about and to remember and so reminisce about. So we just thank the Lord for your consistency, for your faithfulness, and for your Christ-likeness in your marriage. And we just praise the Lord for it. Also, Megan, you have a couple of visitors with you, right? Yeah. They're not visitors to you, I know, but they're visitors to our church. Why don't you just tell us who's with you this morning?
My mom and my baby sister.
Oh, okay. Mom and baby sister. Now, they live down the street?
No, Ohio.
Ohio. Oh. And I know that they're not University of Ohio's or Ohio State fans, are they?
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's good to have you with us. And we have some that are, others that are visiting with us, and this is great to have you. Okay, getting to the Word of God. You know, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, as he's talking to the disciples, he's come to the part where he's talking about prayer, and it's very important here, but it's very difficult. Also, some passages, because this that we're coming to, the second part of verse 10, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We know that it's not being done, first of all the time, right? Amen. Even among Christians, I would like to say all of us are obedient all the time and His will's being done, but it's not. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But, you know, what does it mean? I mean, it causes some problems with believers even, praying this prayer. And so we need to look at it and we need to see what the Lord is saying. And you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and your mind, because I can share the message, share the word, but without the Holy Spirit enlightening you and opening up your eyes to the truth, then you'll not understand. You'll just hear my words, or you'll just hear the reading of the word. And so you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're not a believer, I don't know we could have members here that are not believers. I don't know. It's a personal thing that you've got to come to in your life where, like it happened with me at age 17, where I realized that, hey, I was going down the wrong road, and that road was not leading me anywhere but to destruction. And so I got discouraged and with life, and I came to my ends through a series of events, and the Lord got my attention. I was very hard-headed, and I thank the Lord for it. I wish that I'd become a Christian a lot younger age, but I just thank God that He saved me when He did. And that doesn't mean that I don't wrestle with things still. I know I preach the Word of God. I know I study the Word of God, but still doesn't mean that I have all the answers, but God has all the answers. And we're learning, and that's the neat thing about it. Here I am, saved at age 17. I'm still growing, still learning, God's still revealing things to me as I allow Him to. And so that's the neat thing about it. So let's go to the Word of God, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says, pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And that will be brought out with and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we'll bring that part out with that in the prayer. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask God to speak to our hearts in a very special way, as only He can do. And that we will be touched, and that God will change our lives, or encourage us, strengthen us, lead us, guide us, direct us, whatever is needed in our lives today. Father, I just want to thank you for this congregation, these people that are here today. I want to thank you for their lives, and many of them, if not all, I don't know their hearts, but have come to a place and where they've surrendered their heart and their life to you. And so I just pray that you'll open up their minds and their hearts by way of the word and with the message. I pray that you'll give them direction, and Lord, that you'll deal with their lives in whatever manner that you so see fit, as well as mine this morning as I preach. And I pray that you'll also deal with any hearts that don't know you in a personal way, that they will have the light revealed to them, that they'll see their need for a Savior, and that they'll receive Christ as their Savior this morning. Thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity, and may we make the most of it as we look at your word and allow the Spirit to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we have here is a pattern for prayer that overrides bad praying. Or patterns for bad praying, because he speaks to his disciples and he tells them in the verses prior to that to not pray like the Pharisees or the Gentiles. The Pharisees prayed in the synagogues and on busy street corners to be seen. Their purpose was not speaking in a worshipful way to the Lord between them and God. It became a form of exhibit before people, wanting people to think that they were holy. That doesn't mean that we cannot pray in public. When he talks about entering your closet, your privacy, it means that prayer should be private. You block out everybody around you, even when you're praying out loud and you're praying to the Heavenly Father. That's your closet. The Gentiles used meaningless repetition. And it was to be heard. It was just using it over and over and over again, phrases. And so what he's saying here is, in the verses prior to this pattern that he's giving us, he says, don't be like them. In other words, don't pray to be seen or to be heard by piling up meaningless expressions. So he says, pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying thy will be done lets us know that praying is not an exercise that is all about me or all about you. He says, our Father, doesn't he? He doesn't say, my or just me, or just I. He says, our Father. It is also Heavenly Father. In other words, an Abba Father. It's a caring Heavenly Father, but not a cosmic force, as we've talked about, or the big man in the sky type mentality. It is to a caring Heavenly Father that is to be revered. In other words, to be honored, to be respected. He's to be glorified, to be submitted to. We are praying to the God of the Bible. We must remember that. Yes, He is a heavenly Father who cares. I mean, He cares for us. But just like our earthly fathers, there needs to be respect for Him. Whether you had respect or not, there needs to be respect for Him. And so there needs to be a very high reverence for the Heavenly Father, because He is the creator of the world. He is the one who offers redemption for His children, those who come to believe. So we are praying to the God of the Bible, who is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, transcendent, one who comes to be near to us. God is giving us the opportunity and privilege of calling this God, who is almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He is giving us this opportunity of calling Him Abba Father, a word that was never used in the Old Testament in terms of an individual relationship. It was used in the sense of the nation Israel. But in the New Testament, it's used 60 times in the Gospels as a personal relationship. Abba, Father. We are praying to God, not because He needs to know the information that we're sharing with Him. In other words, we're not informing Him of anything. He knows it all, but there is a reason for us going to Him in prayer. And this seems paradoxical in the sense for us, if He knows everything and what we're going to share with Him before we even share with Him, then why should we even pray the obvious? You see, there's questions with believers even about this. We are praying the obvious because of a number of reasons. One being that God is glorified when we pray it. Praying it brings us to the place where it shows our need to the Heavenly Father. We recognize Him as the Almighty, and that we are dependent upon Him. That honors and glorifies Him. God is glorified when we pray before Him and to Him. We're also praying for His kingdom to come. When Jesus came, in a very real sense, His kingdom did come at that time, didn't it? I mean, looking at it in this way, we should each pray that His kingdom comes so that it will be extended. Now, what do I mean by this? This happens through evangelism, by enlarging the family of God, by people accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But there is a sense which we're to pray for the consummation time, when Christ comes to set up His kingdom, because one day He is going to come and set up a literal kingdom here on earth, to rule and to reign. And that kingdom that He sets up on this earth, He's going to rule with a rod of iron, isn't He? I mean, there's not going to be any disobedience that's gotten away with during that time. He's going to show us what the new heaven and new earth is going to be like. And so in turn, it's going to just blend in to, I mean, as He rules that time, 1,000 years, and everything is brought to a consummation, the final end of this on this earth, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to just blend right into it. So there is that sense where we pray, when we pray, Thy kingdom come, that it's meaning that God's will be finally brought to exhibit, a final destination there. For now, as His kingdom is being built, His will needs to be exercised and obeyed, though, on earth. for God to be glorified. And that's where we as believers come in. We can't count on lost people to obey His will, can we? I mean, they don't have that capacity to do that. When we're born again, where it says that we have become new what in Christ? New creatures in Christ. We have a new capacity. And so we're able to do this, to understand this. But yet, at the same time, we still have our old will, our old capacity, our old nature. And that means that there is still rebellion there that can creep up, right? And so we as believers are not perfect, and so we do not always seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We seek our kingdom or our will so often through disobedience. So it is to be obeyed. This is why He's telling us to pray for it right now. And to pray for that is to look in the long term of bringing it into existence, that final destination, that consummation where He comes to rule and reign. But we're to let the people know how God rules and reigns. And we do that by submitting to His will. We're to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That should be our greatest desire as believers. That we see God ruling as king in His kingdom of people. And who are His kingdom of people? That is, the believers in Jesus Christ. We should desire for God's rule to be absolutely established before us. Why? Because we're to show a world that doesn't understand it, that many times lives in chaos, just like we did before we were born again, that there is order. And this order comes from the highest being, and that is God Himself. And we should let them know that this is something that they can hope for, the consummation, that one day if they'll come under this rule, they will understand this and be able to experience the blessing there is by being His children. We as believers are to demonstrate His rule by allowing it to happen in our lives. But as I said, that's not always easy. It's not always the case. With unbelievers, they don't care. They don't want God's rule in their life. They want to be in charge. We did too. We wanted to live our life the way we wanted to live it before we were saved. But then there is a problem of those who are born again, just like you and I, if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that we get off track at times. And that we don't allow God's reign in our life to control us the way it should, and He desires for it to. This is why He says in the prayer, pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, in heaven, there's no rebellion anymore with angels. Those that were in rebellion were what? Cast out of heaven. So those that are there serving the Lord are what? In obedience to God. There's no disobedience there with God in heaven. This is why He's saying, as God rules in heaven, so let Him rule in our hearts today. So we've seen, you know, through this, His wonderful relationship, this is how it comes about. You can only allow Him to rule in your life if you know Him as Abba Father. And we have a responsibility, and that is that God's kingdom should be evidenced today on earth in our life. The rule and reign there, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray in accordance with God's plan. We could paraphrase it like this: your will, whatever you wish to happen, God, let it happen immediately. As in heaven, so in earth. God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to show the people around me how blessed my life is and how you know best what's best for my life. And how not doing certain things or doing certain things glorify you. So God, your will be done on earth. Let it be done immediately in my life and in other believers' life. This will of submission that's happening in heaven. But as I said, problems arise when praying. We need to be very careful when we're praying that we don't become like the fatalists. And what do I mean by that? We just give up. We think, well, and believers wrestle with this. Well, you know, why pray? If God's going to answer it and He's going to answer it His way, why even pray? Why go through all of this if God is going to rain down His will here on earth? But we know that God's will is not being reigned in everybody's life, don't we? And so we know it's going on today. There is rebellion, and we need to recognize that. And we need to realize that we need to be allowing God to control our lives, because number one, His way is the best way, but number two, number one, He gets glorified through it, but number two, His way is the best way, and number three, other people need to see this, that His way is the right way and the best way. So, you know, we've got His creative will, as some would say. And that's where Scripture teaches that God's creative will is what brings about everything into being. He created all things in accordance with His will. And at the end of every day of creation, He gave the verdict that it was consistent with His will. How did He do that? It is good, didn't He? He said it with each one. It is good. With man and woman, God said it is very good. And so we must understand that all things exist by the power of His will. We've got to understand that as believers. That helps us in understanding His sovereignty. But there is a misunderstanding about His sovereignty also with that, if we're not careful. So we must understand how His will works. Also, some people have declared it or mentioned it as redemptive will. What is His redemptive will? His redemptive will is involatile. In other words, God did not come up with a plan that might save people. He came up with a plan that would save people. It's no maybe. His redeeming will is involatile. The redeeming will save. It actually does save people. It saved many of us here in this congregation. That's how we become a child of His. That was His will. And then His consummation will, we know that everything will end up right according to the way God desires for it to end in the end. In the end, it will be as He intended. But what about in between, Mike? You said that there's rebellion. Yeah, there's rebellion going on in the heart today. And He's letting that ride itself out in His permissive will, isn't He? And that, as many people say, is His revealed will. In this will, we have to admit that there are beings who resist God's perfect will. God's revealed will is what we have in Scripture, where God tells us how He wants us to live. This is where He tells us how He wants us to act. And He tells us in law and in commandment and in statute what to do. In this will, we see people who are violating His will, though. And they are violating that revealed will of God. How does it happen? Well, God, if God is sovereign, well, it happens because God has allowed it to happen. That is part of His consummation will, in the sense that it's going to, end up in that where He will bring it to a close at the end, and all will be as He intended. God has given man a capacity, a moral agency for doing right and wrong, and this gives him the capacity to do that which he may choose to do or that he might choose to yield to with the Lord. I mean, you just look in the mirror or look around you. God ordained that His human creatures be given the ability to choose. We know that. When we look into the mirror, we will see, we'll never see a will completely in alignment with the will of God. We have desires, we have thoughts, we have actions that are not in line with the will of God. We look at one another, and especially our children, and we know that it's impossible to try and impose one's will upon another. I heard about a father, true story, who was talking with his son about getting in bed, and I believe his son was about 5 years old or six, and he had put his son down numerous times, and with each time he told his son, he said, "Don't get up. Don't get up. I am going to discipline you if you get up." And so the young boy, after several attempts of getting up, and after several threats, and even corporal punishment with that, or discipline, he told his father, "You can make me lie down, Dad, but you can't change the mind." And that's true. The father's will may be done in the child's life as far as staying in bed, but the father cannot bring the will of the brain to agree to sleep, can he? We can force people to do certain things, but that doesn't mean the wills will be identical. This is a problem with fallen nature. And so God's revealed will, or what others call it, the will of purpose, which is an all-inclusive, allowing sin to run its course and Satan to have his way for a season. But in God's appointed time, sin's course and Satan's way will end exactly according to God's plan and foreknowledge. Some call this His all-inclusive, perfect will. His creative will, His consummation will, some include in this. It embraces the ultimate end of this earth, Christ's second coming and setting up His eternal kingdom. But as far as now, though, we live in that where His revealed will is taking place. And for us to acknowledge this, then we've got to realize that, hey, we still have that rebellion in our heart. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has said, "Pray, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth, so that the Father may be glorified." And this is what we are to do, that God's will becomes our will, and that His will prevail over the earth as it does in heaven. But with that, once again, may I say, we must be careful not to become faithless, because it is paradoxical, in a sense, praying this, because we know that there are times when the Lord even emphasizes, like in Luke 18, 1 through 8, persistent praying, doesn't it? Where the widow lady comes to the judge in the parable, and because of her persistence, it says, he gave her what she was asking. I think that you say, well, Pastor Mike, when do we stop praying, or what do we stop asking for, or how do we know that it's in God's will? Well, I think that we should keep praying for certain things. We know from Scripture that it wasn't God's desire that any should perish, right? We should pray for salvation of those that are lost and not give up. Just because we haven't seen someone get saved, I think Finney or one of the great men of old prayed for this one person, and on his deathbed, an atheist came to him and said, well, I guess your God didn't answer your prayer. And he said, oh, he's answered it. And this great man of God passed on, and at his funeral, this person that he was praying for came to know the Lord. He may not have been able to see it while here on earth, but this man did come to know the Lord. We should, if we become fatalists in this, and just give up, then we don't pray in faith, do we? And God wants us to be creatures of faith. And we should acknowledge this. I mean, if it's some selfish desire, God, give me a new vehicle. I want whatever utility vehicle or this nice one with this in it and that in that. I mean, this is nonsense. We know this may not be in God's will. You can pray for certain things. God, would you help us to get this? But at the same time, realize that, God, I want this to be used for your glory. When we prayed for our house, maybe that's why God ain't giving it to us this time, but when we prayed for our house, we prayed, God, we want a house where we can minister to people. And he gave it to us. And the same thing with vehicles. And the same thing when we pray for people. Well, how do you know if a person's going to get well or not? We don't. But we can pray for their healing. And the Holy Spirit, it says, takes our requests, a request that we don't even know how to verbalize, or maybe we don't know how to say correctly, and that he straightens it out before the Heavenly Father for us. So we should pray. But primarily pray, God, I want these things because I want you to be glorified. Not for selfish reasons. Not for me or not for so-and-so, but God, for you to be glorified. And I want them to be used for your kingdom's sake. I want to show people how, God, you have touched my life and what you've done and how you've answered prayer, so that they can see how it's done in heaven as we obey the Lord and we wish for his will to be done. We desire that. There's a lot of things. He wants us to grow as Christians, and we should pray for one another. God, Lord, help so-and-so grow in the Lord. They just become a child of God, and they need to be discipled, and or bring someone along that might help disciple them. God, use the choir in such a way that it will touch lives and get out the message. And we could just go on and on and on praying for this. Pray for these boxes, that they won't just be boxes delivered to children, but they will be boxes that will be delivered to children to show them that God cares for them and that they'll have an opportunity, if they don't know the Lord, to come to know the Lord, to see how gracious God is. Let's pray for God's will to be done. For the mission, our Lottie Boone, that's coming up. It's not just an offering. It's not just giving money so that we can write it off on our taxes, is it? It's money to be given so that it can be directed completely to foreign missions, to reach people in other places, in other countries, for the Lord. God, your will be done. We set this goal, Lord. I mean, it's just a goal. You can go over it. That's fine. We just said it, God, because we wanted a challenge before us. But we want you to reach that challenge through our hearts as we submit to your will. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank